Future Radio, where you'll get advice and answers from the guy who leads the organic charge. Author, landscape architect, arborist, and your host, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Well, in the famous words of the Joker in the first Batman, the world needs an enema. Proposition 37 in California gets voted down. Big time. The thing that could have helped us a little bit about slowing down genetically modified stuff being in the food without us knowing about it got voted down big time. At the same time, we voted in a president who has said that he's going to raise our taxes. And the reason I mention that is that that was the main objection to Proposition 37, voting it in. The people with the money opposing it were brilliant, apparently, at convincing the voting public that it was going to be akin to raising taxes, causing products to cost more money because you'd have to redo the labels and you'd have to do this, that, and the other thing, and there were going to be lawsuits and all of that. So it doesn't make any sense. I don't know whether it's going to come up or not. I hope the people that are trying to do that there and in other states will try again, because pretty simple and straightforward common sense. Products should be labeled as to where they came from, whether they came from China or the United States or Timbuktu. And they should also say what's in them, whether the ingredients are raised with chemicals, organically grown, or and especially in the case of Proposition 37, whether the genetically modified ingredients are in the products. And then the customer can decide whether or not to buy the products. It's pretty amazing. It apparently got beat pretty substantially. The only explanation I've heard is that there were so many propositions to be voted on out there, people got confused. And I had a real interesting visit yesterday with some people. When I spoke over in East Texas, I did a little keynote talk at the Northeast Texas Community College yesterday, which is a college that teaches environmental stuff. Teaches some organic classes. One of the most common questions I get about learning more about what we talk about here is, where can I go to school and learn more about what you talk about? And right now, that's about the only place for the people around in Texas. And they've got things set up and doing a very nice job over there. And as I've mentioned before, those of you that are interested in cars or learning more about the automotive industry, working on cars, building cars, they have the Shelby Automotive Technology Center, where you go to class and learn how to build a Shelby. I don't know if you get to do a GT or a Cobra or what it is, but working on Shelby cars is what it's all about. And Carol left them some pretty good money and really did some good work for the school over there. So you got both things going on. It's real pretty. Campus. It's just outside Mount Pleasant, between Mount Pleasant, Dangerfield, and Pittsburgh. My old stomping ground. So those of you that want some class work, check it out. They've got a website. You can look on their website and see what's going on. Sign up for some classes. They teach rainwater collection. They've got a facility there that's state of the art. High technology on saving energy, recycling water. Solar panels are all over the place. They've got a demonstration on air power there, and they're just looking into all that. They've set up a Serengeti grazing demonstration area that Sabino, I talked to Sabino Cortez about that some, and that's an interesting deal. They're looking into, you know, really all the things that we talk about there. So check it out. If you didn't make it over there, those of you did make it over, enjoyed being with you, and it was fun visiting with a bunch of people. Northeast Texas Community College is the name of the place. No tea today. What I did today, I picked up, and I've got the handout from the people. They gave me some chicory to try. They're trying to market, and I mixed it with my coffee. If you've listen to me talking about my coffee. I grind my own organic beans and in the morning usually, and have a couple of cups of that. Mixed chicory in with it this morning. And it's being marketed probably primarily to people who don't or can't have caffeine, get all jittery and everything. And it's a strong taste. In fact, it's a little stronger flavor, it seems to me, than my coffee, my organic coffee beans. I do usually a kind of a light roast, not a real dark roast. But it's really good, really nice flavor. I mixed them together. And I recommend giving that a shot. Chicory is actually easy to grow. It's a weed. It's in my herb book. It's in, I think it's in a couple of my other plant books as well, showing you what it is. It's a plant that looks a little bit like curly dock or something like that, and has a flower that looks like an aster. It's a blue flower. It's really pretty. Some people plant it as a wild flower. And I would imagine that the chicory that's grown to make the coffee substitute is a very specific one, but I don't know that for sure. It's something I need to learn a little bit more about. Those of you that know anything about it can give us a shout, and we'll let you know where to get this one that I'm trying, because it's a good one. It tastes very, very good. This hour is brought to you by Munster Milling Company, makers of Munster natural dog food and cat food, munstermilling.com. It's M-U-E-N-S-T-E-R, munstermilling.com is where you can get information about it. You can go ahead and jump on board here. We're going to go to the phones fairly quickly. Open lines for you at 1-866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. 1-866-444-3478. And I need to give myself a little bit of a hard time here, and everybody out there, I need to encourage a little stronger about the dogs that are available at the SPCA in Dallas. We have not done a good job. The dogs the last couple of weeks, about 3 weeks, I haven't helped to get placed. And the last one was just terrific, Dolly, last week. If you're thinking about a pet at all, take a look at Dolly. You go to our website, dirtdoctor.com, and go to the SPCA button, and you can see Dolly from last week. You can also see Alfie and Baxter, who are all three still waiting for home. So I didn't do a very good job of helping them. So let's take a look at those dogs. They're great. We got a house full. I can't bring any more home. But those of you that are thinking about a great pet, take a look at those. And don't miss today's dog. He's a good-looking dude. He's a Goose, 7-month-old male hound. Mix. Let's see if it says. Yeah, weighed about 54 pounds, so he's a good size. Really, really pretty. Pretty eyes and pretty coat. Looks like he might even have a little greyhound in him. But check him out on our website. We've got a nice picture of Goose there. And also, as I said, Dolly and Alfie and Baxter from weeks before, who we didn't help very well. And let's do help them. It'll help you more than it will them, I guarantee you. Our adopted dogs are terrific. There is something, y'all know that I drink crazy water, mineral water from Mineral Wells, Texas. Got my famous water hat on this morning, too. They have something new. They have the return of the historic mineral baths in Mineral Wells starting tomorrow. November the 12th, which is tomorrow. That's right. They've got, you can sip and soak mineral baths, $28. There's a membership, an annual monthly membership, and probably longer too. But you can get the information on the website. Go to just do a text for crazy mineral baths. And you can pull it up if you're interested in that. I am. I'm going to be going over there for sure. I love the water. Love to drink the water. And those mineral baths, like they used to have years ago, have been reestablished. So check all that out. Let's see what else we got here before we go to the phones that I haven't talked to you about. once again, and I know some of you are listening to me in California, give me a little call in and let me know what your take on this Proposition 37 getting killed was all about. I know that at the same time that was voted down, you voted in some new taxes out there and some other ways, and then some of the other elections tended to indicate that taxes didn't seem to be a problem. I'm not sure why letting Proposition 37 pass would have created bigger taxes. It would have just created a situation where people could see which are GMO products and which aren't and make a decision what to buy. They didn't want that to happen because they knew people would stop buying those products. That's really what it was all about. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. I'll be back. One of the places you can go to buy Crazy Water is at the Crazy Water store in Mineral Wells. This is where the Crazy Well is and where you can purchase Crazy Water and many related products. Crazy Water is what I drink, and there are several reasons why you should too. Other waters can't add naturally occurring minerals to their water, only synthetic ones. Crazy Water's high level of natural minerals are more readily absorbed by your body than synthetic minerals. Crazy Water is also a natural sports drink without all the artificial flavors and sugars. Crazy Water drinkers love it because it's real and it's an easy means of hydration and electrolyte replenishment. Crazy Water's been making people feel good since 1881. Go to drinkcrazywater.com and click on Find Us to locate a store in your area. If your favorite store is not carrying Crazy Water, click on the red Get Crazy banner ad on the top of the store location page to print a page that you can give to your store so they can get Crazy Water for you. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
The Natural Organic Warehouse provides state-of-the-art natural organic products and programs. If you are a grower, farmer, rancher, landscape contractor, or homeowner who expects excellent results, convenience, and to save money, then you need to visit naturalorganicwarehouse.com. That's naturalorganicwarehouse.com. Once again, naturalorganicwarehouse.com. The Natural Organic Warehouse. Organic programs and products that work. Tired of poor-performing crops, gardens, or lawns? Texas Plant and Soil Lab offers you the most accurate and thorough soil nutrition test in the industry. Our special method is accurate for every soil type and in all areas of the country. The quality of the water you use for irrigation is also critical to the health of your soil and plants. We can provide you with a complete analysis and corrective recommendations for your water. Go to asktheplant.com today to see useful information and a full description of our services. That's asktheplant.com or call 956-383-0739. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner. Or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
The Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products longer than anyone in the organic business. They have quality fertilizers and soil amendments both in liquid and dry form. All of Medina's products work by stimulating soil biology to help all plants. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, you can feel comfortable knowing that you're spending your dollars wisely on Medina products. They have a brand new fertilizer that's going to be on the market pretty soon. I'll keep you posted on that. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina, and it's available in sizes from quarts to large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. Their website is medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at hardware stores, nurseries, garden centers, feed stores, any place that sells organic products. The Medina products are always available from naturalorganicwarehouse.com.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
We're back with you. It is 866-444-3478 to be on the show with me. 866-444-3478. There's several people holding. We'll get right to the phones, but just a couple of quick things. First of all, I found the note on the people that have this chicory. If you want to check on it, their website is falsterfarm.com, F-A-L-S-T-E-R, falsterfarm.com. They do a lot of organic stuff, and they're handling this new product, this fresh ground chicory that I was telling you about. falsterfarm.com. Those of you who are members and are looking at your computer, that is a publication I recommend, Agricultural Research. It's from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA, ARS. A lot of the research that I end up kind of glomming onto and taking to a different level, a more organic level, comes from these people. They do a lot of GMOs and a lot of stuff that I don't recommend at all. It's not totally organic by any means, but a lot of the research in here is very good. This publication, for example, is where I first read about the scientific research backing up using paint, whitewash, or some kind of a diluted paint on the trunks of trees rather than wrapping some kind of cloth or fabric if you want to repel insects and help with getting a weak plant that was grown too tight in a nursery and might have a tendency toward sunburn, something like that, that whitewashing of the trunk, which we cover on dirtdoctor.com. The research came from here. I don't know why I don't get this anymore, but for some reason it just dawned on me when I saw this yesterday that I'm not receiving it anymore. It costs about $60 a year. And it doesn't come out that often. I don't know if it's quarterly or monthly. But those of you that are really interested in some pretty good technical stuff, I recommend this. It's called Agricultural Research, and it's from the Agricultural Research Service, the ARS part of the USDA. Yeah, I do like some of the things they do. Not all, but some. And then what else was it? To the phones. June in Fairview, Texas.
Hello.
First up this morning. Hi, June.
Hi there. How are you?
Doing great.
I noticed in your column in Thursday's paper, you mentioned rose rosette disease, and I did not know there was a treatment. I thought you just had to dig the roses up and destroy them.
That's what a lot of people tell you. That's how we got into looking into a solution, June. I heard that from our own state universities. I did a research on the internet, and every university I went to said that there was no cure for this disease. Well, that's something that I don't like to accept. I always like to think that there's some way to solve it, and there is.
Hmm.
Are you wondering what that is?
Yes, I am, because I found it on one of my roses, and I live in a development that has used these roses extensively, you know, in the development.
Yeah, that's common. I bet you that you have at least a pretty good percentage of roses that are the knockout roses.
Yeah, about half.
About half of them. Yeah, that's where it showed up, I guess, first. What we decided to do was, instead of tearing them all out and destroying the plants and not planting any roses again for the rest of history, we thought we could probably come up with some way to cure them. I threw out some ideas on the radio show, and some of the gardeners, one specifically, sent us photographs of the whole thing, and it's in a newsletter that we did. So if you go to dirtdoctor.com and go into the archives and look for Rose Rosette, we got that whole story. What it was basically is that I recommended cutting away the diseased part of the plant, which is where you've got that red growth and it gets all deformed and you have excessive thorns. That's the typical symptoms of this thing. Lesions on the stems are also part of it. So cutting all that away and cleaning your pruning shears, not with Clorox or with bleach like most other people recommend. I think that's toxic stuff and shouldn't be used, but with hydrogen peroxide. Hydrogen peroxide works great on cleaning your tools. It's also part of the solution to the disease.
Oh, okay.
What we do is we spray the plants after we've trimmed everything back like that. And you can destroy that part if you want to. I'd put it in the compost pile and chop it up and compost it is how I would neutralize it. But if you're afraid of it, that part can be sent to the trash if you don't have a way to compost it or burn it some way safely. But we spray the plants then and the soil. We drench the soil also with Garrett Juice Plus, which is compost tea, vinegar, molasses, seaweed, and liquid fish. But we add, I originally threw out about three different ingredients. I think the most important one of the additional ingredients to add is hydrogen peroxide, because we found in the past that we could cure viral diseases, which is what the university people are saying this probably is. They don't act like they've even identified it for sure as a virus. They refer to it a lot of times as a viral-like disease. But the hydrogen peroxide sprayed on viral diseases and bacterial diseases is very effective. So we thought, well, it might help in this case. The first testing that we got results back from, the people also put the product BioWash in the spray, which is a fancy fatty acid soap. And they put a little bit of orange oil in the mixture as well, at around 1 ounce per gallon of mixture. You can go up to as much as 2, but when you mix it with all these other things, I think 1 ounce is enough. The hydrogen peroxide goes in 8 ounces into a gallon of spray, 8 ounces from the grocery store, the 3% stuff from the grocery store. And I ran out of time. Let me finish when I come back, okay?
Okay.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. U.S. officials telling the AP today the investigation that brought down CIA Director David Petraeus began with complaints about harassing emails sent by his biographer and paramour. Petraeus quit Friday after acknowledging an extramarital affair. At least 2 people are dead, 200 people forced from their homes after a deafening explosion in an Indianapolis neighborhood last night. Nobody's reporting yet on what caused it. A strong earthquake in northern Myanmar today. A dozen people killed, perhaps more, 6.8 on the Richter scale. A 5.8 aftershock followed. It's breakfast at the White House today for some veterans joining the President and First Lady to mark Veterans Day. Mr. Obama later goes to Arlington National Cemetery for a wreath-laying ceremony. This is SRN News.
Saatchi stared at the tiny flame. She and her husband had a picture-perfect family, but that came crashing down the day she learned of his affair. He moved out, leaving her to provide for two small children. But now the smell of her kerosene-soaked clothes invaded her senses. She just wanted her life to be over. She closed her eyes and let the match go. For this woman in Asia, death seemed to be a welcome escape, but God had other plans. Her neighbors saw her and put out the flames, and as she recovered in a hospital, she was visited by Jabin, a Gospel for Asia-supported missionary who shared the love of Christ with her and her own experience with her husband's affair. Saatchi followed Christ and now experiences the true love and comfort found only in the Lord and in his body, the church. You can make a difference in lives of women like Saatchi's. Your gift of any amount to Gospel for Asia's Women's Crisis Fund will help provide immediate aid and comfort through the local church. Please help us. Go to janetmefford.com and click on the Rescue Women in Crisis banner or call now 855-230-ASIA. That's 855-230-2742.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. When veteran coach Phil Jackson walked away from the game after the Lakers were swept out of the second round of the playoffs in the 2010-2011 season, he noted that he didn't have much of a relationship with Executive Vice President Jim Buss. Now ESPN reports the 67-year-old Jackson made several demands of Buss in a meeting Saturday, including travel restrictions, a salary in line with what he previously earned with the Lakers, and significantly more say over basketball decisions if he returns to the L.A. bench. Interim coach Bernie Bickerstaff is leading the team after the firing of Mike Brown on Friday. On the hard court Saturday, Indiana beat winless Washington 89-85. Wizards coach Randy Whitman says the reason his team hasn't won a game is pretty clear.
From a stat standpoint, take care of the ball, 12 turnovers, but six of them are in the fourth quarter. And to win close games, you can't have six turnovers in the fourth quarter.
Charlotte snapped a 16-game losing streak against Dallas with a 101-97 overtime victory over the Mavericks. This is SRN Sports. Manu Ginobili hit two big free throws in the final seconds as 6-1 San Antonio edged Portland 112-109. Nate Robinson scored 18 points off the bench as the 4-2 Bulls dribbled past Minnesota 87-80. James Harden scored 20 and Houston kept Detroit winless. As the Rockets won 96-82, it was Philadelphia 93, Toronto 83, Boston 96, Milwaukee 92, Utah 94, Phoenix 81. Denver went to two overtimes to beat Golden State 107-101. Top 25 action, number 15, Missouri, had an 83-69 season-opening victory over Southern Illinois Edwardsville. 22nd-ranked Notre Dame beat Evansville 58-49. The marquee game in the NFL today is the Sunday night matchup in Chicago between the Bears and Texans. Both clubs are 7-1. Texans coach Gary Kubiak says holding onto the ball will be crucial against that Bears defense.
I think they have 28 turnovers defensively. They're the best in the business and well on their way to some records, and we protect it pretty good, so it's kind of a strength against the strength, and hopefully we can hold up our end of the bargain.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and hopefully June is still with us. You there, June?
Yes, I am.
I'm sorry, I was kind of long-winded, but it's important to understand the whole process here. We're basically doing a version of what I, for years now, have called my sick tree treatment.
Uh-huh.
And the spraying part of it is just part of it. The other part of it, if you really want to do the entire procedure and really make sure things are good, is that you treat the soil by the beds, you know, that the plants are in, and go out as far as the whole property if time and budget allows. And what you do on the soil is you aerate, you know, stick holes in the ground, or have a contractor or the lawn care company do that for you. And then while the holes are still open, you put out the amendments, the organic amendments that are the basic amendments that we use for bed preparation, compost and rock powders and sugars like dry molasses and cornmeal, and the rock powders like zeolite and lava sand and granite and things like that. If you don't do them all, it'll still probably work pretty well. It just does a lot better if you do the entire treatment. The sick tree treatment is detailed of on the website under guides on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. But that's the sick tree treatment is basically that. Treat the soil with all those amendments after aerating and spray the plant with the Garrett Juice Plus. And in this case, or when you have some other really tough disease to control, you add hydrogen peroxide to the mix. And if you just put the anecdotal research we got back from these projects was just simply using 8 ounces of hydrogen peroxide from the grocery store into the gallon of spray.
You know? Okay, so in other words, you add that 8 ounces of hydrogen peroxide to a gallon of the Garrett juice.
Yeah, the spray ready to be sprayed. Yeah, not the concentrate, but when you get it all mixed up and it's ready to spray into every gallon of that ready to spray Garrett juice mix, you add 8 ounces of hydrogen peroxide.
Oh, okay. All right. You know, I found it on mine, and I was concerned and wanted to try it on mine, but I'm concerned that the Homeowners Association is going to be horribly shocked at how expensive this is going to be to treat, but it would be even more expensive to replace all these plants.
That's just what I was going to say. It's really not that expensive, because what this will do also, June, is this will substitute for one of your fertilizer applications. You know, one of the things that I recommend is to put out dry my personal fertilization regime is to put out dry molasses and spray and drench with Garrett juice. So this treatment you're doing also, you know, substitutes for one major fertilization of the year. So the cost of it is really, if you consider everything, not much at all.
Right. Okay. Well, it's very interesting that you mentioned cleaning your tools with the hydrogen peroxide. Now, I have always used alcohol, but I never thought of using the hydrogen peroxide.
I don't mind alcohol. It's just hydrogen peroxide is better in a lot of different ways. And it gets on your skin in the diluted form. You know, it doesn't hurt you. Alcohol is real drying, and going into the soil, hydrogen peroxide is very beneficial. So it's just the best choice.
Okay, one more question.
Okay.
When I'm spraying this on the roses, if you have mulch, do you need to pull back that mulch?
If you drench it so that it goes down through the mulch, work it around with a cultivating tool so the spray can get through the mulch better, that'll work a lot better. If it stays up in the mulch, it's going to do some good, but not as much good as if it gets down into the soil where the roots are.
Okay.
All right. Thank
you so much for your help.
Appreciate the call.
Bye-bye.
All right, 866-444-3478. Now, those of you that are in the business, maintenance, landscape maintenance, contracting business, and you say, well, I'm going to go out there and try that. One, it's great. You should. I recommend it highly. But one word of warning, and I meant to look it up during the break, and I will on the next break. I think there are some hydrogen peroxide products that have EPA labeling for uses on spraying on crops. I don't know that they have the EPA labeling to spray as a disease control. So whether you're if you're going to put it in there and you're selling this service, you need to sell the use of hydrogen peroxide as a cleaning material, not as something that's controlling diseases, unless we can find a product that is labeled for that. I'm going to look into it a little bit more now. You know, for my own work and the research, we're just using regular hydrogen peroxide that everybody can get easily and a homeowner can certainly use without any problem at all. But those of you that are selling, doing this spray and doing this process, you got to be careful about calling something a disease control when it doesn't have that kind of labeling. You can always, you know, say it's included to help clean the equipment or to do a cleaning process on the foliage or something like that, but not that it's going to cure a disease, even though it does. Mike in Houston next up. Hey, Mike.
Hello, Howard. It's good to hear you again. Let me say again, I sure miss you being on the station down here in Houston.
Well, I wish we had gotten back on, but that hadn't happened yet, I take it.
Well, keep trying, if you will.
We will.
Got a couple of questions on corn gluten meal and dried molasses.
Okay.
Our front flower bed is just full of weeds. We pull them, and then 2 weeks later, they're back up. It's my understanding the corn gluten meal will inhibit the root growth of weeds, but my wife planted some pansies last week out in the garden, and I'm wondering if that corn gluten meal is going to hurt her pansies that she planted?
No, it's a pre-emergent quality that corn gluten meal has. It doesn't do anything for transplants other than fertilize them and make them grow well. It's a good fertilizer. It's a very powerful organic fertilizer. We don't recommend it that highly, especially in the fall, because it's inconsistent about how well the herbicidal part of it works. But it does work. Its best use is when you have prepared a new bed and it's all completely bare. You know, no matter how careful you were, that there's some weed seed in that bare bed. And if you're going to do transplants, putting the corn gluten meal out as the fertilizer with the transplants will definitely help you with the weed seed germination that might come up around those little plants. And it won't hurt the transplants at all. It'll do just the opposite. It'll fertilize them.
God, I wish I'd have talked to you before I went out and bought it yesterday. That stuff is expensive.
Well, it's a good thing, to prevent the weed seed from – it actually doesn't prevent them from germinating. What it does is the weed seed germinates and don't develop a root system. It's a funny thing. I don't think they've even quite figured out why that happens, and that's how it kills the little germinating seed from continuing to grow. But it has to be put out just at the right time, and the moisture has to be just right, and so on and so forth. But it's a good fertilizer, so you haven't wasted your money. You just paid maybe a little bit more than you would have paid for some other organic fertilizer.
Okay. As far as dried molasses, want to put some down on the lawn, and because it's getting lots of weeds growing in there and all this. Is this a good time to put it down?
I just put it down on my properties a couple of weeks ago, and we're still well in the window for that. Okay. I'd recommend it.
Super. Now, also, I'm going to have a lot of corn gluten meal left over. I got a great big bag of it. Can I put that on the lawn as well?
You can cut the right way down from what is normally recommended. We normally recommend about 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet. And if you're going to use it with the corn, with the molasses, cut it back to only about 10 pounds per 1,000 square feet. And that's a pretty strong fertilization. Be sure and don't go above that.
Okay.
All right.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Get to work.
Appreciate your help.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
And open lines at 866-444-3478. Jump on board here. 344 is DIRT, D-I-R-T. Maggie in Fort Worth, how are you today?
Good. It's a lovely warm morning.
It's a little cloudy out there. Are we going to get some rain?
I hope. That cornmeal in a bare bed, that's a great idea. I always have those extra weeds come up when I'm gardening.
I think that's probably the best use for it, Maggie. Whenever you're, no matter what time of the year it is, when you've prepared a new bed and it's all bare and raw, there's going to be some seed germinating. So corn gluten meal used at that time is, I think, probably its best use.
I have a tip.
Okay.
There's been a discussion off and on the forum about finding 9% pickling vinegar. And I was out in the countryside a couple weeks ago. David's Supermarket is in some of the smaller areas, Alvarado, Glen Rose, it may be in Granbury. But they have it just in the grocery store for $2.89 a gallon.
9% stuff?
Yes.
Okay, good.
And this is your edible vinegar that when I shop at my local favored feed store in town, they have a $10 or $12 gallon, and I'm not sure. I think it's the acetic, but it's questionable, the feed store stuff, and the grocery store is much cheaper. So that's my tip for today. Take a drive to the countryside and David's Supermarket.
Okay, that's a good tip. I appreciate it. Do you happen to have it right there with you?
I do. But the radio is on in the kitchen, so I'm afraid I'll get feedback. What was your question?
Well, I was curious about something. If you look at the label on that at the bottom in the finer print, mm-hmm. does it happen to say who manufactures it?
Oh, I'll get that. Just a moment.
Okay.
Linda, turn up my radio.
She knows about the feedback on the radio.
Oh, yes, I know. Did I get you?
No, you're fine.
Okay. if this is national white distilled vinegar, 9% acidity, and it's from Houston, Fleischmann's vinegar.
That's exactly what I was looking for. Fleischmann's makes, apparently, they make most of the vinegar that's out there. They make some very fine, high-quality vinegars, apple cider vinegar. In fact, I was told just recently, and I need to verify this, but I was told that they even make the Bragg's vinegar. So they make this 9%, which would be great if everybody's wondering why we're talking about this so much. It'd be great for your weed control mixture. And they also apparently make good quality apple cider vinegar as well for your Garrett juice mixtures.
I had a difficult time finding much information about Fleischmann's online. They really have just an industrial...
Yeah, they're a big manufacturer, so they don't want to deal with the public. Let me put you on hold. If you had something else, got to run, 866-444-3478.
Howard Garrett's new book, Organic Management for the Professional, is the first comprehensive guide to going green in large-scale landscaping, soil building, correct planting techniques, fertilizing, and pest control. You will learn how to apply these organic methods in large-scale landscaping, such as orchards, tree farms, and greenhouses, as well as recreational properties such as golf courses and parks. The Organic Management for the Professional is written for landscape architects and contractors, golf course managers, park administrators, turf managers, or other stewards of the land. Buy it today from your local bookstore, retailer, or the Natural Organic Warehouse.
Did you know that two of the top five most prescribed drugs in this country are for digestive disorders? It's a fact. Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist. One of the questions I'm most frequently asked is how to relieve and eliminate digestive discomfort. Many people don't realize that indigestion, heartburn, bloating, or gas are often caused by a bacterial imbalance in the GI tract. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics exclusive formula delivers a live, viable blend of beneficial bacteria directly to the source of your discomfort, relieving uncomfortable symptoms. I recommend Dr. O'Hara's probiotics for healthy digestion and overall good health because it's backed by 25 years of research. This exclusive formula improves digestive pH and helps you regain bacterial balance by correcting the root cause of digestive issues. I encourage you to discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide. The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic approaches in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC wants to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center can use your support. Your contribution is tax deductible. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the bottom of the homepage to find out more about TORC and how you can help. Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Well, you've heard me talk about the dog food company up near the Red River in Munster, Texas for some time now, and you're going to continue to because it's the best on the market. My dogs are proof. Hannah, Carmen, and Tater wouldn't eat any other dog food. They might, but I'd have to soup it up with something that tastes really good. This dog food tastes great, and it's really good for them. There are no toxic preservatives in the product and some very high-quality ingredients, including prebiotics and L-carnitine. One of the things I've noticed with my my dogs eating Munster Natural is that they don't have any hip or joint problems, hardly ever. And that goes way back to many dogs that have eaten the Munster Natural. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster Natural, ask them to contact Munster Milling at their website, munstermilling.com, about how to get the product into the stores and make the customers happy, mainly making all the pets happy. There's Munster Natural dog food and Munster Natural cat food. Again, that website is munstermilling.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All right, Howard, back with you, 866-444-3478. Happy Veterans Day. It's a day that I should have mentioned at the first of the show, I guess, since I'm kind of in that category. I didn't do what a lot of people did and was never involved in combat, was in the Marine Corps. That's what today is all about, starting at Arlington Cemetery. I just found out the other day, I had no idea that one of the things that is a benefit now and has been for some time, but I'm not sure for reservists like me, the ability to be buried in one of the national cemeteries, something that I will probably take advantage of. But the day is to thank those who have been in the armed services, so I guess that covers everybody, including yours truly here. Jane in Dallas next. Hello, Jane.
Hello.
How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. I am a new gardener, or really a novice, and I'm trying to plant something that would grow up a wall, a brick wall. And a friend of mine told me if I planted clematis that and put it on trellis, that it would be very acceptable and to do it this time of the year. Is that correct? And will it grow in not full sun, just partial sun?
Yeah, it'll do pretty well there. I have some growing at home in my backyard, and I've got a way too shady backyard. The one that's the easiest to grow, Jane, is the fall sweet clematis. It has several names, autumn clematis. It's the one that blooms in the fall or in the late summer to early fall with white flowers, a very fragrant, and it's one that is pretty, and I recommend it because it's so easy to grow. The only negative about it is that it does it is perennial. It goes bare in the winter.
Well, she showed me a picture of hers, and it had three different colors on it: pink and purple and white.
Well, all of the big flowered ones are beautiful. They're just a little bit harder to grow. This would be a good time to plant some of those. There's also one called Evergreen Clematis, and it doesn't have as showy of flowers, but it's got really beautiful, big, long foliage on it that that is well worth taking a look at, too. So there's kind of three categories. The ones that people like the most, the big, beautiful, hand-shaped or size flowers in different colors. I'd try some of those. The autumn or fall clematis is the easiest to grow. And then the, well, I'd say the evergreen one's easy to grow, too, but it's just not as spectacular as far as the flowers. It's planted primarily for the foliage.
Does it all, I mean, these were multicolors on one bush.
I guess you can buy, those things are hybridized into all kinds of colors. There may be more than one vine in the container in that, maybe how they did that. It may not be all on one plant. Maybe. They may be able to breed them like that. I've never seen that specifically myself. But give all of them a try if you've got an interest, just to understand the differences in those three categories.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll go and check it out again.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 866-444-3478. Tom in, is it Callisburg?
Yes, sir.
Where's that, Tom?
It's about 8 miles northeast of Gainesville, out 82 going toward Sherman.
Okay.
Going about 8 miles and four north. But anyway,
right. I should have known that.
Thank you for taking the call, sir.
Yes, sir.
My pecans are starting to fall. I have a paper shell and some native. But my paper shell tree, I've let it go. And, you know, when it gets heavy, it just starts touching the ground.
Right.
What I'm wondering is when should I trim it back? And how, you know, I don't want to go drastic, but I want to get it up off the ground.
Well, there's two answers to that question, Tom.
Okay.
It's a little bit loaded. I personally like the low-growing limbs. In fact, some of my favorite pecan trees have limbs that not only touch the ground, they're on the ground all the time. they've bent down, and they're laying on the ground all the time, and then they've grown back up, and it creates a very dramatic effect. So,
well, I don't mind that. That doesn't bother me a whole lot, but it bothers me when I can't harvest very well.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. If you need to do it for a specific reason other than what it looks like, you can do the pruning pretty much any time, but the best time to do it would be from now through the rest of the winter.
And spring. Yeah,
do it in the dormant season. And whatever you cut off, look at the photographs on our website on dirtdoctor.com and think about where the pruning cut ought to be and make sure you make the cut far enough out so it protects the branch collar. In other words, you never want to make a flush cut flush with the trunk.
Yeah, this old tree is over 50 years old.
That's young for a pecan.
Well, I know. I say over. I'm not sure how old it is. The old house here in 1878.
Well, go ahead and do it. Don't cut any more than you have to, and don't put any pruning paint or sealing on it. And your tree will be fine.
Okay, no sealing. That was the next question.
Yeah,
I just want to trim it back to where it's not dragging the ground, and I can maybe lift it up a little, the smaller limbs, you know, and mow under it. Not right now, during harvest time. I'm not going to cut it back now.
Well, you can cut some of the tip growth off back without cutting entire limbs off, too. So you might start with that, see if you can get it to lift itself up enough with that, and then if you have to, cut off some limbs all the way, but do as few as possible.
Well, they're falling right now good, and the limbs are up off the ground right now. There's enough. I've been holding them up with 4x4s.
Sounds like you may not need to do a whole lot of trimming. Let me see if you had something else off there, because I got to run for a minute. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, back with more after this.